And we're going to be in Genesis 1, verse 20. In honor of Mother's Day, we're going to continue our Bible study and study the sea monsters. So, Genesis 1, 20. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts, increase our faith, our confidence in you, and Lord, just give us the eyes of a child to behold your creation again, to just look around and see the incredible wonder of what you've done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we have seen, God caused the continents to rise up with fertile soil and in one day covered it with rich vegetation, full-grown forests, fruit trees, everything mature. As of yet, though, God had not created the sun and the moon. There was light coming on the earth. And so in day four, he created the sun, the moon, the stars. And now to have been there on day five at sunrise, I wish I could have done that. To see the beginning of the day without any animal life whatsoever. Not the sound of a frog or a cricket or a fly, no mammals, nothing. By the end of the day, the trees filled with birds and the ocean filled with life, the wonder of what God did. We've seen so far that God used the word bara once so far in Genesis, the word for create. We talked in our first study about that word, bara, which means to bring into existence that which had no previous existence. And then God uses another word, asha, which means to reshape what already exists. Man can make things. We may call it being creative, but the truth is all we can do is take what is created and reshape it. And we call that being creative, but the word create here means to bring into existence that which had no previous existence. Now, what's interesting is all the ways up through plant life, and including plant life, all the trees, was an act of making or reshaping what already existed. God created the heavens and the earth. And all that we have read from there till now, God has not created anything else. He's just taken what he created that first moment and has been reshaping and working it. So plant life, with all the beauty and wonder that we can see in it, is really just minerals and different elements brought together and made, not created. It isn't really life, as we would call it, even though it's capable of reproduction and so on. Plants, after their kind, can reproduce. But now we come to something different. In verse 20, it says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were day five." So, the word bara, for the second time, is mentioned. God created. The word life is used for the first time in the Bible. So, here we go, empty oceans, forests, but no birds. By the end of the day, the chatter of birds has filled the forest. And notice, abundantly. God didn't start for theistic evolutionists with a glob and build it in and little. No, just in one day, the oceans were filled and swarming with fish. And the word whale here actually is the Hebrew word sea monster, which would include whales, but it would also include dinosaurs. The dinosaurs that lived in the water, all the great, huge, I mean, God filled this world with life abundantly. Some of it that the beauty of it would pull you in with its small intricacy and its incredible delicacy to that which was so massive you would stand back in awe and wonder. And so the whales and all the sea creatures swarming in the oceans all at once, and the forest filled with birds all flying and flying. You know, birds are incredible animals, aren't they? So beautiful. And yet it's funny, you know, God in his sense of humor takes one of the most exotic and beautiful things. And have you ever noticed how baby things are cute, including people? They're so cute when they're babies. But quite often as they grow up, you know, you'll get a little puppy and think, oh, what a... But, you know, you better check the size of the feet of that puppy and see what you're getting into. You know, they can grow up to be some pretty monstrous things, and they lose their cuteness, don't they? Well, you know what parrots look like when they're babies? They are the ugliest. They look like a glob of something from another universe. I mean, no feathers, you know, these little wings sticking out, and their bottom beak is way too big for the top. They are the ugliest things, but they grow up to be so incredibly beautiful. And God made birds that are migratory, that fly, you know, across continents. And he made other birds that are territorial, that'll spend their whole life on one branch. You know, parrots mate for life. And for the most part, if their mate dies, they don't mate again. They're extremely, you know, it's fascinating to look at what God... I've got a parrot. I don't advise it. You know, people come in and go, I think I'm getting a parrot. I go, think long and hard. And they go, why? I go, because I got one in 1969 and I still have them. I mean, think about that. The 60s is a long time ago. And you know what? Just this morning, I went to open the blinds and he almost tore a chunk out of my arm. I pulled back just in time. He got irritated because I woke him up too early. And he decided, you know, he jumped across the cage, and I was reaching to open the blinds, and I mean, if I hadn't moved quick, I would have had a hole in my arm today. It's after 35 years with this creep. Of course, he's only been saved a few years, but, you know, I mean, it's taken forever. I mean, he was the meanest, orneriest, and... You know, I've been feeding him and taking care of him for 35 years or whatever. I don't even know how old he is. He was an adult bird when I got him. And the thing is, you know, I have a feeling that at the second coming, when we come back with Christ, that bird's going to be waiting for me in the millennium. You know, I just have this feeling he'll survive the Great Tribulation and still be hanging around, you know. And I'll have another, you know, 1,000 years with him or something. You know, I just, I don't know. It's an incredible commitment. But God, just boom, here's all this life, just suddenly, abundantly. And the word bara, a new thing was created. Something that had no previous existence came into existence. What was that? Consciousness. Conscious life. Things that move and breathe. Now, there are people who teach and believe that man is what you call a dichotomy. We are soul and body, or body and spirit. We're just two parts. And, you know, in some discussions, it's easier to consider man a dichotomy and just consider the organic part of our body as part of our being and the spirit as another. But there are others who believe that man is a trichotomy. That is, we are body, soul, and spirit. Or body, mind, and spirit, however, whatever words you want to use. And to allow for understanding of what was created on this day would have been mind or soul. You see, if people ask, do animals have a soul, usually they're asking me what they really mean is, do they have an eternal spirit? To that, the answer is no. But to understand, if we were to use those three terms, that we are body, soul, and spirit, then soul really means mind or life on a level where there is consciousness. You are conscious of your environment, capable of reacting, feeling pain. Animals can be trained. They can learn. Plants, they just can't do anything. They're mindless. They are a different type. Plant life, in the Bible, really, the word life isn't even used until we suddenly have animal life, the great sea mammals. And so the principle of conscious life, God created. This is the second time in the Bible that the word bara is used. So God created the great whales and all the creatures and the birds. So now the principle of conscious life has been created. And again, I think it's important for our purposes today, regardless of how you want to divide man, to understand us as a trichotomy. And that is that we are body, mind, and spirit. That there is something about us that is different. We can look at an animal and say they are body and mind. They are capable of thoughts on a certain level. They are not capable of abstract thought. They are not capable of language or communication. They are not capable of creativity like art or appreciation of art or beauty. But yet, you can say an animal has certain mental faculties and different levels of intelligence for different species, trainability. We impose on animals personality. You know, we love to watch and we love to really believe that our dogs are understand, and you know, they don't understand. They haven't got a clue what words you're using. They react to how you're acting towards them. And I know that for a fact. Dog behind my house, his name is Bear. And kind of nice having a dog that's not mine. I don't have to clean up. I go out and talk to him, pet him anytime I want. But, you know, when Bear's being good, I go out and I clang my ring on the fence. He comes charging up. Oh, you know, he's just a big, goofy dog. And, you know, I scratch his ears and he's just, you know, and I can just be, you know, cheerfully going, "You're the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You're just so stupid. You're an idiot." And he's just, oh, you know. On the other hand, I can go, "Good dog," and he'll cow down. He doesn't know the difference of the words I'm using. He only knows the tone of voice, the way I'm acting. You know, and animals are just reactive. They run on instinct. Human and human alone run on a different level. So the sea creatures, day 5. Now we move into the final day of creation in verse 24. God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and the creeping thing and the beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. So God made a shah. He didn't have to create because the principle of life was already created. God, Ashah, made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So God now goes on and continues. The life principle, having been created, doesn't need to be created again. Although we would look at the most complex forms of life, of animal life, are on the land rather than in the ocean. And even though they are greater in complexity, yet God uses a lesser word because he's already done the greater act of creating the principle of consciousness or soul, whatever you want to call it, of conscious life. So God goes on and now makes them. God puts them in three categories. Man puts them sometimes in hundreds, sometimes in thousands. You know, we would look and say, well, there's reptiles, there's mammals, there's this, there's amphibians, and there's this different types of amphibians. There's, you know, we can break them up. But God, you know, he calls cattle. I would assume that that is all animals that can be domesticated, would be the cattle, the animals that man finds useful. Creeping things would be those things that are close to the ground. They're running around on the ground. And check. Okay, I feel like My volume's gone down a little. I'm not hearing myself, or my ears are going down. But the creeping thing would be mice, frogs, lizards, snakes, you know, any mammals that are smaller, and then the beasts, which would include elephants, lions, the wild animals as we know them, including dinosaurs. All of those were created. So God puts them into these three categories. And by the way, he probably did this before taking a lunch break. I mean, you know, because he created man, and I'm sure he did the animals very early in the morning. So if you were here on earth and were able to watch day five, you wake up, nothing but silence. By the end of the day, there's the chatter of birds, and you get up early day six, you know, probably by 9 in the morning, there's the lowing of cows, the roars of lions, elephants, and, you know, animals all over the planet suddenly created. And what incredible. Now it's ready for the centerpiece of what God is doing all this for. And notice again, God keeps saying, after its kind, that they were to reproduce, but everything was to reproduce after his kind. God set that vertical limit on evolution. Nothing evolves upward into a different species, but things do evolve sideways within the species. Infinite variety within the kind, but one kind never changes to another kind. It does not happen. God set that boundary, and it's absolute. Now, I believe things had to have changed dramatically at the fall of man, because at this point, the planet is filled with animals, many of them large enough to be very dangerous to man, but none of them were dangerous. God would not have put man in an environment where there was any danger, anything that could harm him. In fact, we're going to see before we finish today that everything on the earth were herbivores and vegetarians, including man. That eating meat was not really a concept in the Bible until Noah's time. That the herbs and the vegetables and the fruit were what God provided as food. But at this point, all this tremendous animals. And now, suddenly, day six continues in verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you shall be for food or meat. And to every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Everything ate a vegetarian diet. Now you might say, well, God, why did God give lions teeth like they have then? I'm not sure they had them that way. Maybe they had smiles like ours. That would have been something to see, wouldn't it? I'm not sure what changed at the fall. God knew that there would be a fall, and God knew there would be the necessity of carnivores because this world would be thrown into death and decay. But it wasn't created that way. There was no death, including among animals. Everything was, you know, there were no predators. It was not survival of the fittest. It was harmonious and beautiful and peaceful. No fear between man and animals. You see, now Nature can inflict pain on you pretty. I mean, I love the ocean. There's something about it that just 30 seconds, you're in a wilderness, you know? But I've been hit by stingrays 3 times. There's one guy, another guy in our church, been hit 3 times. And I've got to go for 4 just because I can't handle tides, you know? I got to one up them, you know? I got to get back in the water one of these days. It's been since 99, but the stingrays really hurt. You know, things have changed. But even a stingray, if it's swimming, is basically friendly. You know, it's interesting that you can go up and stroke them and play with them while they just don't like it when you step on them, which I've done 3 times. And, you know, I've gotten zapped 3 times. And, you know, it's like being stung by like a 25-pound wasp or something. I mean, their stinger is about the size of a potato peeler and about an inch long. At least one of them went an inch deep, almost went all the way through my foot. You know, it was, and we're talking pain. I mean, you know, they can really hurt you. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. Everything was harmless. Everything were herbivores, and man was to be a vegetarian. God said, I provided food. I want you to notice something here. The word create, bara, in verse 27, is used 3 times. So in chapter 1, the word create is used a total of 5 times, 3 of them in reference to you, to human beings. I'm not going to have time to get into what God commands. We're going to have to come back to this somewhat next week and recap some of this. But I want to tell you something. You are not a sophisticated mammal. You are not a mammal at all. You are human. You are a creation. God brought something into existence that had no previous existence. Animal life, consciousness, already was created. So what is it that he created that day that was in his image? And listen, God says, let us create man in our image. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Now, God is a spirit. We know that from the Bible. He doesn't have a body. But yet God speaks like he has hands and feet and eyes. And at a point, God became a man and dwelt among us. And guess what? Today, God does have a body. Today, there's a man who is God, who's fully human, who's on the throne of God, ready to forgive any who will forgive. But what is this quality that you and I have as an act of God's creation that makes us different than the animal kingdom? We have a spirit. And there's so much that goes into that definition, including some things I've touched on. The capacity for abstract thought. The capacity to appreciate beauty. The capacity to express love. To make commitments. To keep or fail in those commitments. To choose to love or not to love. The capacity of so many things comes with what God created. But understand this, God created you and I for a purpose. And that purpose was that God wanted to have fellowship with Adam. We were designed and created to have fellowship with God. You ever use something for something other than what it was made for? It can be a very frustrating experience. You know, like going dirt bike riding on a full dress Harley or something, you know? You're just going to end up dead. On the other hand, you wouldn't want to ride to San Francisco on a dirt bike. You know, you want to use the right thing in the right way. And if you want to live a frustrated life, live a life without fellowship with God. Look at the world around us. You know what's wrong with it? Is man is separated from God, therefore cannot, without coming to Christ, he cannot fulfill his purpose in life, what he was designed to do. There is a drive and a craving inside of you that cannot be satisfied anywhere other than a relationship with the living God. Without a relationship with God, life is frustrating, it's futile, it's empty, and yet people try to find meaning and purpose without turning to God. We have been telling our children for over 100 years that they are nothing more than sophisticated animals. And you know what? They're starting to act like animals. And then we stand back aghast going, oh, how could they take a gun and go to school and kill all the other kids? Hey, if evolution is true, it's survival of the fittest. Everybody get a gun. Kill off everybody that's inferior. Take over. I mean, if evolution's true, and let's follow it all the way through, what's wrong with them killing? Why is there any such thing as right or wrong if there's evolution? You see, the world says, oh, no, everything's relative. There are no absolutes. Well, if there's no absolutes, then I can kill you if I want, right? Well, no, there's, you know, that would be wrong. Why? Well, you see, it's because you're not an animal. You're special. You were created for a purpose. You were created in the likeness and the image of God. Male and female, he created them. The female is not inferior to the male, guys. Some of you have that attitude. Your wife is physically weaker than you. She has less muscle per pound than you do. The Bible tells you to honor your wife as the weaker vessel. Vessel is in reference to her physical makeup. She does not have the endurance or physical strength. To honor your wife as weaker means do some of the work for her. I've heard some guys refer to their wife, well, yeah, well, I forgot she's the weaker vessel. You know, very condescending. You know, my wife, even though she's down to where she can only use one hand, but I know how she'd use it if I spoke about her that way in her presence. I mean, you know. Women are not inferior. They are equal citizens in the kingdom of God. And you guys remember this. How are you treating your wife? Are you considerate of her? Do you listen to what she wants and what her expectations are? What her longings and dreams are? Do you care about her? Do you remember who your spiritual father-in-law is? That if you married a Christian, she's a daughter of the great king of the universe. And he's just liable to smack you silly if you don't take care of her. I've watched some guys play some pretty rotten games on their wives. Have this attitude of she's supposed to submit. She's, you know, she just needs to, wait a minute. Guys, you're supposed to be considerate. I don't think any wife would mind submitting to a man who's truly considerate. That is, he fully takes into account her feelings and honors them and respects them and doesn't ask of her what she doesn't want, but learns what her wishes are and respects and honors her. Because God gave order in the universe and made the man the head of the woman does not mean that man is superior. In fact, from my observation, I've noticed a lot of times that, from my opinion, I think women are smarter than men. Now, ladies, I don't want this to go to your heads or anything, but I don't know how many times I've been in counseling where the guy is sitting there going, well, I don't know what's wrong. She knows exactly what's wrong. How many of you guys have had a fight with your wife or you're kind of going, well, where did this come from? What do I do now? So dumb, you don't even know what you've done wrong, you know? I mean, I'm not kidding. You know, I can sit down and counsel. You know, I'll ask a couple, when was the last time you guys had fun together? Went out to dinner or did something just together as a couple? The guy will go, oh, gosh, I don't know. It's been a while, I guess. And one will go, June 14th, 1984. You know? I mean, they got these built-in calendars, man. They remember exactly what you did and what day you did it and how you did it. I mean, they're incredible with their minds. You know, where guys are just kind of... And plus with guys, you know, when you ask a guy a question, you get one word. Ask a little boy, how was school? Fine. Did you like your teacher? Yeah. Anything interesting happen? No. And ask a little girl, how did you like school? If you have about 10 minutes. But you better set aside some time if you're going to ask a little girl if she liked her teacher or not. She always missed her so-and-so, and you know, she'll go on and on. And you know what's weird is after Debbie married me, she expected me to talk. It's been 30 years. You know what? She still just gets one word at a time, and she has to fight to get those. How at church today? Okay. That's almost two words, by the way. See, I'm trying. So I move up to at least multiple syllables or often two words. Anything interesting happen? Not really. And then she finds out from somebody else that there was a heart attack and, you know, there was a, you know, all this stuff went on and, you know, we had a major episode and this and that and, you know, and why didn't you tell me about that? And I was just going, well, I don't know, just typical Sunday. I didn't feel like talking, that's why. Words are painful to me, I What is it? Why are we so different? And yet God has created us equal. He's created us both in the image of God. You know, I've had guys go, well, it is the man who's created in the image of God. Male and female created he them in his image. We're all in the image of God. This capacity of spirit that we can worship, that we can adore, that we can love God, that we can rise up above animal. Now, I want you to know this. You can revert down and become an animal if you want to. And if we allow the world around us to keep teaching all the kids around us that they're nothing but animals, they're going to keep acting like animals. Without any moral restraint, not only sexually, but they're going to kill, they're going to violence, all of that. You know, we look at the deterioration of our country. Where did it come from? It came from people abandoned Genesis chapter 1 and forgot that you are a creation. You are not an animal. You are not on the top of the food chain. You are not, you know, a product of evolution, of savagery who have fought our way to the top. You are a created, a work of a loving creator who made you for a purpose. And that purpose is that we would love God with all our heart, that we love each other as we love ourselves. You see, you're an eternal being, whether you like it or not. The only difference is if some of you are going to spend eternity in heaven because you believe in Jesus Christ, and some of you are going to be conscious for eternity in hell. Animals, when they die, I'm afraid they're just gone. Now, you know what? If when you get to heaven, foo-foo is important to you, God will give you foo-foo, I guess. I don't know. If once you're there, it truly is important, which I have a feeling once we get there, a lot of things we think are important now, once we're there, we're going to go, what was I thinking? But animals don't have an eternal spirit. People do. Animals do not have the capacity to worship. You know, they don't have the, you know, of course I don't have the capacity to sing, but I do have the capacity to worship. I can adore God and lift up my voice when I'm far away from other people. And when I'm glad the Bible says make a joyful noise, you know, because only God would consider the singing I do as joyful noise. But, you know, my heart, I can do that. An animal can't. I am not an animal, and neither are you. You are the product of a loving God, a creation, a direct creation. You are created in the image and the likeness. Now, exactly what that means, I don't know. We'll talk more about it next week. Let's pray. God, I ask that you help us to just become more like you in our God as fallen creatures. Lord, I just pray that you continue to work in us that work of restoration, of restoring us to what you designed us to be in the first place, that you bring us into deeper fellowship with you. And Lord, just draw us close to you on our way home. Help us to go out today and behold your creation through new eyes. And just look with wonder at all that you did. God, I just, to have seen it before the fall, how beautiful it must have been. What we see now is just a dim reflection of what it used to be. And what it used to be is just a dim reflection of heaven. Lord, come quickly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.